Hallelujah. Praise the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, Lord, we bless your holy name. We thank you so much for your hand upon us, for your favor, your goodness, and your mercy, which triumphs over all. Lord, we lift Pastor David to you. Lord God, we pray that by next week he'll be recovered and here, that your hand will be upon him even this morning, Lord God, and that you would speak to him about all your conquests, Heavenly Father, through his life. Encourage him right now, Lord God, that he will return quick and fight the good fight of faith. Thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise and please take your seats. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I've only had to cover for one other person who couldn't make it to Harvest, Bishop Paul Dapper from Kumasi. And so I thank God I was well-dressed the night that I had to cover for him. So I was Paul Dapper, Dapper as in well-dressed. Praise God. But, you know, standing in for David Entry isn't easy because, like, firstly, I'm the wrong color. I'm about 5 stone heavier than he is, and I can't dance like he does. But I can sing tree better than he does. Hey, mommy, praise God. So we'll get there somewhere in Jesus' mighty name. I want to share something with you that God really strung together in my heart, and it's been part of my life's journey, and I believe it's yours too. We are exiting the year of uncommon favor. In fact, our last half night of prayer in this year, in the year of uncommon favor, was last Friday, just gone. And because the next month, when our half night of prayer would be on, we're going to be celebrating Christmas with Don Tomasino and all the other chefs in the house. Mwah. And I just seen you enter there, Thomas. That was perfect timing. And Anna, and little Annalisa as well. Praise God Almighty. Thank God for your lives. So we are going to be celebrating. And I thought, wow, you know what? This is a concluding time. This is when you look back over the year. How many of you've had a good year of uncommon favor? How you've really experienced the uncommon favor of God? You know, it's so good to stop and to take stock. But I want to share something with you that I believe will help us, particularly in this year to come, because God has said to us that we are exiting the year of uncommon favor. Now, that doesn't mean that the uncommon favor stops. You understand? Anything that God has called us into will never cease because it's been bought and paid for in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But he emphasizes certain things so that we, at certain times, so that we can grasp a revelation of that and then carry that revelation into the following year, right? So he said this. He said, you're exiting the year of uncommon favor. You're entering a year of glory. The first thing that hit me was how unworthy we are to carry the glory of God. Now, if there's anyone who knows about worthiness, I know about worthiness, bought by the blood of Jesus, baptized, washed, etc. But yet when it comes to, you see, when it comes to receiving from the uncommon favor of God, that's easy. But when it comes to being a carrier of the glory of God for others, that's not so easy. I don't know, maybe it's my Catholic background and stuff. You know, like anyone who's been a Catholic, you kind of major in guilt. A-level guilt. Am I right? Am I right? Yeah, even Skinny Junior says I'm right. I must be anointed this morning. Praise God. So there's something about it. And then God took me on this journey as a result. And he said that he wanted me to share this with you this morning. And essentially, what I'm going to be sharing with you is the difference between a cat and a pig. Hallelujah. The cat and the pig. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, are you a cat or a pig? Praise God. So I want to share a bit of my life first, and I want to read you a psalm. I don't know about you, but Many times I see my life in the Bible. I see what God has done in the Bible. I remember reading Isaiah, I think it's 65 verse 1, somewhere around there. Don't put it up on the board, but it says something like this. He says, I was found by a people who weren't looking for me. Is that Isaiah 65 or 66 verse 1? Somebody look up real quick. In fact, if you find it, Gifty, stick it up there. We may as well. Because when I found God, I wasn't looking for him. I was looking for a good time. I was looking for chicks. I was looking for money. Isaiah 65, verse 1. I was looking for a good time. In fact, the night I got saved, I had three girlfriends on the go at the same day. Thank God neither of them knew, so they didn't kill each other. But I was that kind of guy. I was a wannabe fly guy, like my wife said, with an N15 postcode, Lord Jesus, deliver us. And it was... My life was going to, in fact, today I was just considering this before God. I was thinking, wow, even today, where would I be? At the very best, I would be either in some rehab or some ex-offenders or some sort of like get your life on track thing. At the very best, if I hadn't gotten saved when I did, if God hadn't revealed himself to me when he did. Look at that scripture. I permitted myself to be sought by those who didn't ask for me. I permitted myself to be found by those who didn't seek me. I said, here am I to a nation which did not call on my name. And so I found myself in that scripture. I said, wow, that's my testimony. I wasn't looking for God. I was raised in a religious background, and I rejected all that as a load of nonsense. And thank God, you know, even still today, religion is a load of nonsense. There's so much difference between religion and relationship. Aren't you glad you have a relationship with God this morning? Praise his wonderful name. And then I found myself now in Psalm 34, and I want us to read this together. Psalm 34, verse 1 to 6. Psalm 34, verse 1 to 6. I will bless the Lord at all times. Read it with me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Praise God. How many of you, that's not only my story, but it's your story as well. Just wave your hand to the Lord and thank him. Just take 1 minute to thank the Lord for what he has done. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, it says, for he is good. This poor man cried, I will bless the Lord at all times. And verse 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered. I think November, you know, we should always dedicate the month of November as a month of taking stock, as a month of remembering the testimonies of the people. That's where Thanksgiving came from back in the day in America, that they stopped in their journey in the conquest and in the colonization of America. They stopped along the way and they thought, wow, God has brought us this far. You know that song, Amazing Grace? 'Twas grace that brought me safe this far, and grace shall lead me on. In other words, the uncommon favor of God has taken me somewhere, and I'm going to go further on. How many of you, that's your story? That's your story. You're determined for it to be your testimony, that you're not somehow going to go like, have you ever seen an amoeba in a Petri dish? You know, in science class, they have these things called amoebas, which is like a single cell blob. And all it does is just, it reproduces, and then it just goes like around this Petri dish for the rest of its life. And then it reproduces again, and then it just goes around. That's not going to be your story. I said, that's not going to be your story. You have a testimony to lay a hold of. The Bible said, by faith, the men of old, what? Obtained a testimony. They laid hold of a testimony. They believed God deliberately on purpose for something. They laid hold of it by faith, and it became theirs by possession. How many of you, that's going to be your story? It's going to be your story. In the name of Jesus, I declare it to you. It's going to be your story. Sometimes the road is rocky. Sometimes the road is bumpy. Sometimes the road is hard. Sometimes there's a huge roadblock in the road, and you've got to clear it with your own bare hands. But how many of you know that our God is able? Our God is able to give us that testimony that we are having. I love what Wafa P said last Friday, the last half night of the year. He said, you know, this is the 11th hour for some people. But in the 11th hour, that's when God visits. When you're in chains and you're prisoned up and you're blocked and everything like that, that is when God comes through. The Bible says that Paul and Silas were in chains. They were covered in their own stuff, because there was no such thing as toilet breaks in ancient Rome. When you were in prison, you were in prison. You dumped in the corner and you wee-weed down your leg, and that was that. And at the midnight hour, they praise God. There's something about praise that will take you through. The half night, do you remember the half night on Friday? What was it? About 95% praise. Even Ihioma, where are you? Ihioma, hey, this woman can sing. My goodness me, she did a great job. And it was all old school tracks, because that, like, she's an 80s lady, and it was powerful, it was wonderful. But there was something about that atmosphere of praise. It's amazing. King Jehoshaphat, when he was faced with Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and a prophet came to them and he said, put down your guns and pick up your guitars. And praise God, for he is good and his love endures forever. You know what? Even today, that thing works. In Israel, in the Yom Kippur War, many of the soldiers who should have been fighting were praising. And the ones that were fighting as a result, their fight was 10 times the fight of their regular peers. One guy captured a whole Syrian tank army division on his own. One man. One man. Imagine, because praise will confuse your enemy. Praise will confuse the devil. The Bible says in Psalm 8, out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have ordained praise that you might what? Silence the avenger and make the enemy cease. And I thought about that. Why does the devil shut up with praises? It's because when your back's to the wall, you're in chains, there's stuff running down your leg that should be in the toilet, you're surrounded by mud, and I bet this isn't just my testimony, I bet this is your testimony too at times. You are surrounded by stuff, but what comes out of your mouth is what? Praise. And the devil looks, he's got nothing to say. He's confused. I've thrown everything at them. I've put every roadblock in the way, every conceivable thing to try and stop the move of God in their life, to try and stop them proclaiming the name of Jesus. And here they are with their arms raised, with a tambourine in their hand, with the high praises of God in their mouths, and with a two-edged sword in their hand. How can I stop these people? And the Bible says he gets confused and he closes his mouth. Hallelujah to Jesus. May you shut the mouths of lions in Jesus' mighty name. It will be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, are you a cat or a pig? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. I would love us to read this together as well. I'm in a read together mood. Is that all right? I'm just checking that you know English. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. Ready? Read. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. This is where we're going in 2014. This is going to be part of our journey in 2014. A journey into the glory of God. I saw something, you know, as Roro was leading worship on Friday evening, And what happens usually is that she'll come out and the team will sort of set the atmosphere praise and worship-wise, but the presence of God was behind her. I saw the angel of the Lord standing behind her as she was praising, and I knew right then that that night would be a night of praise. It was just there. It was like a cloud. Sometimes I see the hand of the Lord like a cloud. Sometimes I'll see him like a shaft of light. Sometimes I'll see the angel like in various things, or like he'll be standing next to a person or something like that, where, you know, God wants to do something supernatural in the life of the person. But Friday night, it's like the presence of God was behind Rora, and it was like, just, I knew that this as a result was going to be an awesome night of praise. Hallelujah. Because there's something about it. The praises bring the glory of God down. The Bible says, with the high praises of God in my mouth. So there's praise, and then there's high praise. Do you understand? Praise is what you can do, and you keep your dignity. You understand? But then there's high praises. There's something, it's like, wow, you know, you can break a heel on your shoe, or your mascara can come and run down until you look like Ozzy Osbourne. You understand? Or you can lose your wig so you look like a barlet. There's all kinds of things. You know, you can wipe your lipstick so you look like the Joker on Batman. That's the high praises of God in your mouth. You know, they used to talk back in the day, in the old time, if you read some of the old time Pentecostal stories about when this stuff was new in the body of Christ, like 1907, 1908, Azusa Street, some of the things that would happen. And the testimony of the people was, you know, they'd come in very dignified into the church services, and they'd be there, you know, hallelujah, oh, give thanks. You know, and back then, like, you know, women couldn't have their long hair down. Somehow it was sinful, you know. And so they'd have their hair up in a bun, and then they'd have these long skirts that would help sweep the floor. We used to call them floor sweepers. I don't know what you call them now, but I believe some holiness churches, they still do all that kind of thing. Even if your ankle is showing, then they'll put you out the door. My goodness me. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, amen. And so they'd have these floor sweeper skirts and these hair in a bun, but then suddenly the glory and the presence of God would come down, and it would come down like a cloud, and people would forget themselves, and suddenly the dignified became the undignified, and their hair would fall down, they'd lose the pin, and suddenly the floor sweeping skirt is up because the people wanted to dance and jump and shout in the presence of God. Hallelujah. May we go there. If you've never been there before, go there this coming year in Jesus' name. It's liberating. There's something about high praises that is totally and utterly liberating. You receive your liberty in Jesus' mighty name. Some people are emotionally bound because they've never had the high praises of God in their mouths. There's something about it. I'll be more undignified than this. Hallelujah to Jesus. May we go there in Jesus' name. Look at this. But we all, this is going to be a key verse for 2014. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as though in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image. What? The same image that the glory of God brings to us. You see, what you behold, you become. What you behold, you become. What you behold, you become. We with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And I had this conversation with God. Lord, I don't feel worthy to carry your glory. Now this, you know, I've preached to 1,000 people. I preached to 55,000 people in Independence Square in Accra in April, May when I was over there. So I've preached to 1,000. I've had people, I've had miracles. I've had 4 people got healed and came and testified even while I was preaching, even before we prayed for the sick. 4 of them supernaturally healed by the power of God, even just by preaching the word. They took that word and it healed them. So I know about the glory of God. I know how to carry the glory of God. I know how to carry the fire of God into a place. I know how to stir the prophetic atmosphere. Even in Kenya, the people are afraid of me. They're afraid of me. Yeah. The anointing that came down on that place in Buruburu was frightening. Absolutely frightening. Even some of them said, prophet, they call me prophet. Prophet Paul, that's what I am in Kenya. Prophet Paul, that was very powerful. We are even afraid of you. That's what they said. That was there. You see, so I know it's not that I'm coming at this thing from not knowing, but still it causes a fear on the inside of me. And the Lord said to me this. He said, don't worry, son. He said, you remember the Ark of my covenant. He said, it was gold. There was beautiful angels around it. And you can see the design of the Ark of the Covenant in the book of Exodus, where the goldsmiths made it and everything like that. He said, but underneath the Ark was gopher wood. So underneath all the gold and all the glory and everything like that was just plain old wood. And I felt God say, don't worry, you just be my gopher. Do you understand? All we have to be in terms of bringing God's glory down is a bit of gopher wood. You know, that's what they used to call it. Back in the day, I learned carpentry in Ireland when I lived there for 4 years after I first got saved. And that's what they used to call you when you were brand new. They didn't call you an apprentice. You were the gopher. And they'd send you to the shop for stupid things like rubber nails. So I went to the, like, they sent me to the hardware shop for a skirting board ladder. I mean, you know what skirting board is, right? So a ladder to reach skirting board. That's what they sent me for. And then they sent me to buy a pound of rubber nails and all this kind of nonsense that they do when you're a what? When you're a gopher. I was an A-level gopher. And boy, I bought it hook, line, and sinker. So I'm standing there in the hardware shop arguing with the guy. Look, my boss has sent me to get rubber nails. You must have rubber nails. The guy's just laughing. He calls his mate. He brings his mate out. Said, tell him what you ordered. Tell him what your boss sent you here for. So here's the Englishman in Ireland making an absolute fool of himself, asking. But you see, I was a gopher. And sometimes that's all God is looking for, is a gopher. He said, get me an ark of gopher wood. And then he says, overlay it with gold. You see, and the gold represents the glory of God in the supernatural realm. Hallelujah. May we be overlaid in the glory of God in 2014. There's something about the glory of God that changes you forever. When you've seen the glory of God in action, it changes you. It marks your life. Just like tragedy has marked some people's life, the glory of God can mark your life in Jesus' mighty name. Instead of your tragedy, may you have glory in Jesus' mighty name. And he says, but we beholding with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So this is a journey. Our journey into the glory of God will be from glory to glory. And he talks about, you know, he says there's one level of glory for this. There's another level of glory for that. So whatever level of glory we're in, there can be a higher one. I said you can have higher in 2014. Now you imagine that we take what we've learned from the year of uncommon favor. We take the testimonies that we've had from the year of uncommon favor, and now we are going to be glory chasers in 2014. And that means that, you know, if the Spirit of God is moving in praises, then we'll let him move in praises. If he's moving in the Word, then we'll let him move in the Word. Doesn't mean that we're going to be there until 5, 6 in the evening or whatever, but you understand, it's like we're not going to limit God in these situations. That's one of the things I love about the all night and about the half night meetings, is that we can just allow God to move the way that he wants to move. We can stoke the thing in the high praises of God. We can stoke it in glorious worship. We can stoke it in tongues of fire coming out of our mouths. Hallelujah. Thank God for the all night and the half night ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. Now, most of us know, in fact, especially if you have been involved in evangelism, most of us know the first part of this verse. He says, in whose case the God of this world, that's the devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, that means that there is a gospel of the glory of Christ. That the arrival, you see, there's a couple of words we need to translate there. Firstly, the word gospel, that just means good news. That they might not see the light of the good news of the glory of Christ, right? So there is a message of the glory of Christ. There is something that when we talk about the glory of Christ, there's something that happens in the realm of the supernatural that God gets ready to outpour a manifestation of Christ. Now, most people think that Christ is Jesus' last name, but the word Christ means something quite specific. It means the anointed one, that Jesus is carrying an anointing that is revealed in his glory. Do you see that? And it talks then again afterwards, it talks about the image of God. Turn to your neighbor and ask them, are you a pig or a cat? The image of the glory of God. The image of the glory of God. We, by that same Spirit, are being transformed, beholding as in a mirror the image of the glory of God, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory. I don't know about you, but I've felt a lot like a pig in my life. A dirty, rotten, mud-rolling pig. I don't know, maybe it's because it's like the sense of when we talk about the glory of God, the sense of unworthiness of carrying the glory of God, I almost have to get over myself to even preach about it. Because I feel like a low down, you know, pigs have always had a hard time. I don't know why bacon is wonderful. If you don't eat pig, then you're certainly missing something. There's a revelation in a bacon sandwich with brown sauce. How many of you, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, I'm hungry, man. Oh, my goodness. Maybe we should serve bacon rolls in the cafe or something. Extra calories. And then we'll send you all to Junior afterwards to get you all fixed up. Praise God. Uh-huh. For the Thanksgiving service. Yes, that's a good idea. Bacon rolls. That's Italian, right? HP sauce in the... He's shaking his head. That's not Italian at all, Pastor P. The cat and the pig. Here's the main difference between the cat and the pig. They both have four legs, two eyes, etc., etc. You know, one goes meow, and the other one goes, yeah. We know the basics, but there's something about a cat and a pig that is very different, that doesn't come out until you put both of them in mud. Uh-huh. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, are you a cat or a pig? You see, the Bible says that we will continually wrestle with the sin nature, right? The Bible says that sin is in the flesh. So as long as you are in the flesh, you're going to have that struggle. You're going to have that fight. You're going to be wrestling with sin in some area or other of your life, right? And it's like this, that you can put, let's pretend the mud stands for a sinful situation. You can put a cat and a pig in mud. The pig is going to say to itself, wow, I'm home. In my case, it would have been, hey, baby, you know, right. But other, you know, what struggle is there that isn't common to man? For some, it's gambling. For some, it's drugs. For some, it's sex. For some, it's the party lifestyle. For some, it's just plain old disobedience. For others, it's lying. They just can't help lying. just that the moment they open their mouth is like a lying spirit. For others, it's just, I mean, there's all sorts of things that, do you see what I mean? So you can be in whatever your mud situation, because every person's mud situation is different to everybody else's, right? One man's mud is another man's concrete. You can just walk straight through, you know, like for instance, in the area of, say, for my life, homosexuality, right? I've never had a gay bone in my body. I've never looked at a man. And God is my witness. My wife is my witness. All my ex-girlfriends are my witness. You understand, like that? Right. But you could put a person in a similar situation who has had that mark. Somehow the devil has marked their existence, their life, their experience, or whatever. And that then, it becomes different. So they can't enter, for instance, a changing room in a gym. For me, that's concrete. But for them, that's mud. How many of you get what I'm talking about? Right. Or like, for instance, somebody who is a gambling addict, right? They can't watch a TV program now on Sky Sports or anything like that because there's so many gambling adverts. Have you noticed? Paddy Power. What's the other? Betfred. William Hill. Coral. Ray Winston, yeah. Ladbrokes, yeah, go. You understand? Because, like, so there's certain people, if that has been your mud, then you can't watch that thing. For everyone else, it's our concrete. It's not a problem. Just go make a cup of tea, sit down or whatever. It doesn't matter at all. You could watch 1,000 adverts because that thing hasn't been your mud. So everyone has got some kind of mud. It all stems from the same spirit, immorality, basically. And he said, do you remember this? The thing I preached a few weeks ago where we had the fruit, the deeds of the flesh are evident, and then the fruits of the spirit are evident. And the deeds of the flesh, immorality, impurity, idolatry, sensuality, all these kind of things, you know, in people's lives that end up, they're all different types of mud, right? Now, you can put a cat, and this is how you know that your nature has been truly changed. You can put a cat in mud. He might spend the next 3 days or 10 minutes, depending on how much mud or whatever, the next 5 hours licking himself, getting all that mud, get the stuff off me. My wife reminds me like that. You know, she's definitely a cat. Because if you rub her up the wrong way, she'll go, you know. And, you know, cats are very particular. They know when they want to be around you. And if you want to be around them, when they don't want you to be around them, that's it. Forget it. You know, that's the cat nature. And so don't go to Volta. They eat cats in Volta. So, but a pig, you put that pig in that same situation, man, they will have a party. In fact, they won't even know that they're in mud. As far as they're concerned, they're home. You understand? And that's the difference between the cat and the pig. You'll know you're a cat. If you're a cat, you can carry the glory of God. If you fall into mud, you can clean yourself off. And you can get, I want to prepare you for 2040. I want to get you ready for this year of glory. I want to prepare you for this thing. Because God's glory will visit. God's glory will visit. But the thing that comes against you, the adversity of sin that comes against you when the glory of God is mentioned, is always absolutely much stronger. And I was talking to a guy the other day. He's had a rough time in life. All kinds of stuff happened to him. He's had all manner of problems. And he was just talking about the difficulty and will he ever make it? And he, you know, he's a bit like me before I got saved. You know, he'd never seen an ugly woman in his life. He's just one of them guys. You know, even an ugly girl walks past, it's like, wow, you know, what's up? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. So he had that kind of thing. And he said, you know, he said, every time I try and run away, I end up running back and ending up in bed. And now I've got another kid on the way and then another, all that kind of stuff. I mean, the guy's got kids everywhere, you know. But he couldn't help himself because he hasn't made that transition. Because you see, you can fight the devil, you can fight the devil, you can fight the devil, right? But if you surrender to God, then the fight isn't even on. There's no fight. You know, the devil will be there in the boxing ring of immorality or of anything, any of the other things I mentioned. And it's like, well, there's no fight, is there, if only the devil turns up to fight? If you're busy surrendering to God. And for me, the best way I've ever learned about how to sidestep the mud altogether is to surrender to God. To surrender to God. Not even to try, because I know if I try resist, what's it going to do? And the devil knows that that nature is in the heart of man. He absolutely knows it. 24 carat knows it because it was there in Eden. Of all the trees you may eat except this one, which one did they end up having the barbecue at? It's in the nature. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. And then suddenly you end up doing it right there. No matter what the consequences. In the day that you do this, you shall what? Die. And he still did it. He still did it. Because there's something about the do nots, do nots, do nots, do nots, do nots. It can't help you. Surrendering to God can help you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. My prayer for you today, stand to your feet, we're going to close. My prayer for you today is that your cat nature will shine. Anytime you find yourself in a mud, that the most important thing to you in that situation will be cleaning yourself up and bringing yourself back into the presence of God. When we miss God, we shouldn't run away from him. We should run to him. Hallelujah. Bible says the righteous fall 7 times, but the Lord will lift him up. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I lift every cat in the house to you. The Father, our cat nature will always be at the fore, that our desire will always be for you, Heavenly Father. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for the power of surrender in every life. Surrender to you, Lord God, that we don't even fight in our own strength, that we just surrender to you. Thank you, Jesus. Let your banner be raised. Let your glory be seen in this house in 2014 as you so desire, Lord. May every sense of unworthiness, Lord, be gone from us, because you yourself has made us worthy. You have made us worthy. You have clothed us with glory and honor. You've given us dominion over all the works of your hands. And in turn, Lord God, we say, oh Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. God, we give you the glory, the praise, the honor, and the adoration for it in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people say, amen.